Well, welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. I've got a lot of great stuff to talk to you about today. I've got a thing I want to share with you real quick, though, and this and I want to just tie this together, you know, with what we're trying to do here in the Patriot community and what we're trying to do as far as educate people and wake people up. Years ago, I became a Christian back in 1979, and then in 1981, I was introduced to a guy by the name of Jim Rohn and also to Zig Ziglar, and they completely and totally changed my attitude of how I looked at life. Before then, I had been raised by a lady who had survived the horrors of Nazi Germany, and she had become very, very negative because of all of that. And I can't really blame her for that, because it was absolutely horrific what my mom went through, and watching her family and relatives, almost all of my relatives were killed, watching the bombers fly over with the B-17s. I mean, she was born in 1916, so when all this was going on, you know, 20 years later, 25 years later, 30 years later, she was right in the thick of things. And so I remember my cousin one time telling me that he was out there just basically working in the field, just growing crops and harvesting stuff, and the bombers saw him out there as a child, and they unleashed a torrent of bombs on the field just to try to kill a little child. And so this is a horrible, horrible way to be raised. His name's Fritz Brewer, and he still has the farm that he was bombed out of in Germany to this day. And what's interesting to me is that, you know, I begin to realize over the years that the attitude that we have in life is so important for everything that we do. I remember Joel Osteen, who I know. I've met him multiple times. I can't call him a friend, but I know him. I've met him multiple times. I've been backstage with him. He actually hosted me one time, and my wife, we came out and we met him in he's not in Dallas. He's in Houston, I believe. And we ended up talking to him, and he took a huge arena over with a 100-year lease. And it was interesting because I had spoken in that same arena when I was on the seminar circuit and the success circuit. And I remember Joel taught me something one time in one of his sermons that I want to share with you guys very quickly. And I know a lot of you guys like Joel Osteen. A lot of you guys don't like Joel Osteen. A lot of you guys think that he teaches down a water version of Christianity. I agree with that. I think he needs to be more about Christ crucified and repentance. I believe he needs to be talking about that more. But what he did say one time on TV, and he didn't tell me this in person, but he did tell me, you know, but when I see him on TV, it's like talking to him because I know him. He said that when you talk to 100 people on radio or TV or whatever, 100 people, if you take them, and this is just the law of averages, it could be 1,000 people, be the same thing. He said 25% of the people that hear you are going to hate you, and no matter what you say, they're going to hate you because they're going to be haters. And haters are going to hate. It doesn't matter how much truth you give them, how much love you show them. It doesn't matter if you give them a car or a house or whatever. It doesn't matter. They're going to hate you. 25% of the people are also going to hate you, the next 25%. But if you give them enough stuff and you're nice enough to them long enough, you can get them to love you. Okay, so if you really work at those relationships, you get them to love you. And then you end up with a situation where the next 25% of the people are going to love you. Okay, and they'll love you until they hear something bad about you or they don't find something they don't like about you. And then they'll start hating you. And then he said 25% of the people are going to love you no matter what you do, no matter what people say about you. He goes, it's that 25% that I do my weekly and my daily TV shows to. It's that 25% that I do all my conferences for. It's the people that are going to love me no matter whether I'm perfect or not. And then it's the same thing that I've told people. Hey, look, I'm not perfect. And if I was perfect, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be on this planet anyhow. I mean, only Christ was perfect and he died for our sins for us. And then Jim Rohn, years ago, coming back to Jim Rohn, he had a very unique story, and it was the Bible story of the sower and the seed. And I was on the phone this morning with Doug Hagman for about an hour here at the house, actually a little bit over that, and we were talking about this, and we were talking about thorny grounds and rocky grounds and all these different things that happen to people when you sow seed. And I told him, because Doug had gotten very, very upset the last few months, you know, because he had taken a lot of criticism. And there's a lot of other things that are going on that I can't share with you publicly, but it's been very, very discouraging for Doug, and so I kind of had to build him up. And here's what I told him. I mean, he had actually considered not doing a show anymore. And here's what I told him. I said, Doug, the way you have to look at life is this, is that you have a sower who's sowing the seeds. That would be you. And I said, you're sowing the seed, and anybody who's in the media, who's in the alternative health and news market, is doing that. They're teaching people how to eat right. They're teaching people how to live right. They're teaching people how to think right. They're teaching people to wake up and look at the economy for what it is. They're looking at all of these different things, and they're thinking that that's something that they need to be aware of, and they're doing it, and they're thinking everybody's going to listen. And I said, they don't do that. It's the same law that Joel Osteen teaches.
75% of them can be taught to hate you pretty quick. So you can't be catering to those 75%ers. Because there are people right now that are listening to this show that they're waiting for me to say one thing they don't like, and they're going to slam me. And they do that to all of us. They do that to Sheila Lisowinski. They do it to Doug. They do it to Dave. They do it to Paul. They do it to Steve Quayle. They do it to Joe Hagman. They do it to Alex Jones. They do it to everybody who's in the media. They do it to Joyce Riley. They do it to Dr. Deagle. They do it to everybody. They're always trying to find some little chink in the armor where they can put a blade in. And you have to understand something. The sower has to realize that his goal and his point in life is to sow seed. So he has to be smart about sowing the seed. Because if the sower stops sowing seed, then there's no harvest in the springtime or harvest in the fall. People need to realize that. The sower has to continue to sow the seed. And the sower has to realize that the birds are going to come and they're going to take part of the seed. It's just the way it is. Now, you can stop sowing the seed and you can chase the birds. It doesn't help. The birds are still going to be there. You have to be smart enough to realize that the birds aren't going to get all the seeds. And of course, the birds are those people that are the naysayers and the people who don't like you, and part of that 25% they're going to hate you no matter what you do. And you have to ignore the birds, because the truth of the matter is, if they can do a better job, they need to do it themselves. Rohn said something else that was very interesting. He said there's two ways to have the tallest building in a town. The first way is to go in with a bulldozer, get a D9 big old caterpillar, and start bulldozing all the buildings in town. Just bulldoze them all. That way you'll have the tallest building in town. Or he said you can work on your building one brick at a time until over a period of years or decades, you can build the tallest building in town. And then the only problem is when you do build the tallest building in the town, what happens is then that when another Bible verse kicks in, that Kenneth Copeland told us years and years ago, he said, where there is jealousy and envy, there is every evil work. When people get jealous that you're on the radio, or jealous that you've got a blog, or jealous you've got a business, or jealous of anything that you say or do or whatever, they're going to take pot shots at you. They can take cheap shots at you, and you've got to realize that. But you've got to learn to ignore the birds. Now, if the birds become too bad, if they start really tearing things up, you can always engage them and try to talk to them and try to get them to stop. If that doesn't work, you can take two or three witnesses like Matthew 18 says. And worst point, when it gets to a libel state, you have to take them to court, which is something I don't like to do, which I've had to do before. I try to avoid that because that's not the biblical way to do it first. The first thing is to just ignore the birds. Also realize that the Bible tells us that some of this is going to fall on rocky ground, some of the seed. And they're going to believe what you say, but in the first hot weather that shows up, they're going to die and wither. And the hot weather in this case would be, I start talking to people about chemtrails, or I start talking to people about health, or I start talking to people about trans fats, and all of a sudden their neighbor, the plumber, comes in and says, I don't agree with you about this, blah, 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 chemtrails aren't real, this isn't real, trans fats aren't real, you know, radar detectors are witchcraft, you know? And so a certain amount of those people, they're going to talk to their neighbor, and their neighbor's going to be negative, and they're going to fall away. And you've got to understand that. And the Patriot movement needs to get a handle on this, because not everybody's going to get this. And then it says that some of this is going to fall on thorny grounds. And what happens, a thorny ground comes in and it chokes out the seed when the seed starts coming up. And that's the same thing that happens. You start getting somebody else who's negative, somebody else who says this, somebody else writes a blog about somebody else, somebody writes a blog about this person. And pretty soon, well, maybe all that stuff's true. That goes right back in to the 75% rule that Joel Osteen talked about. And then the final thing is you run into good soil, like you guys are listening to the show today. And those of you who've been our customers up to 20, 30 years, since HealthMasters was started in 1931. And you guys are supporting us, you love us, you appreciate what we teach, and you listen to us the best we possibly can, knowing that we're not perfect, but at least we're trying. At least we're doing the best we can. At least we're in the arena doing what we need to do, like that little analogy that used to be with Teddy Roosevelt. At least we're the ones that aren't the spectators, and they're the ones that are in the arena, bloodied and stained from the battle that we're in. But knowing the fact that we're either going to have victory or we're going to have the defeat, we're not going to be the timid masses that never engage and never do anything and never realize if they would have won or would have lost, because they're just spectators in life. A lot of people believe, well, you know, thank God it's Friday. You know, every time it's Friday when they have the weekend off, because they hate their jobs and they hate their life so much. Well, what are you going to do when you're laying on your deathbed? Are you going to say, thank God it's over? Is that what your life's going to be? That you're going to live a life of defeat? And see, God doesn't care what you have. He just wants to make sure the stuff that you have doesn't have you. Let me repeat that. God doesn't care about stuff that he gives you or blesses you with. He just doesn't want that stuff to have you. In other words, you can't be so materialistically oriented that you are willing to sell your soul for a bowl of soup. with Jacob and his brother. You have to realize that you can't be doing that with Esau. You've got to realize that there are certain things that you need to stay true to, and that one of those things is the Word of God and the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Because in that good soil, like you guys are, we're going to have all you guys listening to us, loving us every day, and we thank you for that. But I also realized this, and I also taught, Jim Rohn taught me this, and so did Zig Ziglar. He said that what happens is this. You have a 20-80 rule. He said 20% of the people are going to support Health Masters. 80% of you are also going to support Health Masters, but the 20% will do more than the 80% do. And so I thank you for being the 20%ers. I also thank you for being the 80%ers. And I want you to know that I love you guys, and Austin loves you guys, and we appreciate you guys for everything that you do. We know that you can buy your vitamin supplements anywhere else. I think we have the best products on the market, but you know, you can buy them anywhere. You won't get the results you get with Health Masters, but you'll get okay results, I guess. And that's why we get so frustrated when people call us up and we spend an hour with them on the phone, tell them what they do as far as, you know, maintaining or being healthy in a certain area of their life, and they get a full list of what they need, and they go down to Walmart and they buy stuff that we know is not going to work. And then 30 days later, they call us up and they're mad, and sometimes they're screaming and yelling and cussing at us and cussing at my staff because they tried to buy other vitamins that didn't work, and they wasted their money and wasted 30 days, and they want to know why the products don't work. I don't know why the products don't work, because they don't work because they're junk products. I don't know. I can't help you with that because I know how we produce and maintain our products. So I just want to share that with you guys today, because I know a lot of you guys, you're talking to your friends about the world. You're talking to your friends about the economy. You're talking to your friends about the health and about immunizations. You're talking to your friends about trans fats and GMO foods and fluoride. And you're trying to tell them all the things that we try to tell you guys, or we're talking about, you know, the multi-dimension universe that we live in, that quantum physics has proven. Not that weirdo thing where you get to work your way up the different levels of dimensions, which I've never promoted, depending on how good you are, how enlightened you become. That's all nonsense. That has no reality or basis in the truth as far as I'm concerned. I'm talking about quantum physics. That's what I'm talking about. That's all we've ever discussed on my show, or when I've been on with Hagman. And that's what I'm discussing with you guys right now, is the fact that, look, not everybody's going to get it. Not everybody's going to love you. Not everybody's going to agree with you. But it's okay. Because what you have to do is you have to realize that, you know, they're not all going to get it. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I mean, why don't some people listen? You know, why do some people attack you? I don't know. You just got to put that in the mystery box. Because a lot of people, their backgrounds and their lives, they had a lot of trauma when they were children. And every time they see something they don't like, they have to respond or lash out violently against you or speak negative things against you. A lot of it has to do with self-esteem. A lot of it has to do with, because they have low self-esteem, that if they don't understand something that you're talking about or don't want to understand it, they're going to tell you that you're absolutely wrong. Well, you know, I didn't set this up on this planet. You know, this is the way it got set up. This is what Adam and Eve did in the garden when they turned this whole mess over to the evil one. And, I mean, someday if God decides he wants to give us our own planet, we can make up our own rules. But these are just the rules we've got here, and we have to realize what these rules are. You've got to learn to discipline your disappointment with your friends when you start talking to them about all of this stuff, because you have to realize it's just the way it is. And you have to understand, if you stop talking to your friends and you stop sharing with people, now you're chasing birds. Now you're sowing in thorny ground. Now you're sowing in rocky ground. And you've got to continue to tell the people the truth of what's going on around you. What's going on with the chemtrails? What's going on with the Morgellons? Get them to listen to our talk show. Let us talk to them for a bit. And again, 75% of the people are probably not going to listen, or probably not going to stay with us. But it doesn't matter. If a remnant are saved, if a few people accept Jesus Christ and accept him as their Lord and Savior by listening to my show and listening to Austin and I talk about this stuff and understand who we are in Christ Jesus, it's worth it to me. It's worth all the hassle that I take, all the nonsense that I take, because God called me out. I told you guys that 4 years ago. It'll be 5 years this summer. Called me out in a dream in the middle of the night and put me back to work again. And that's why I'm doing this out of a semi-retirement mode at the age of 60. I mean, this wasn't something that I knew that I thought God was going to do for me, but he just did it for me, and I thank him every single day for it. Because I appreciate what God does, and I pray to him, I tell him that every day. Because remember, God's your spiritually father. He's your spiritual father. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't even be here. He knitted you together in the womb. He made you. He gave you the essence of life. He gave you your soul. He wants you to call home. He wants you to call home every day. He wants you to talk to him on an ongoing basis, let him know that you love him and that you appreciate what he's done for you. I mean, that's what he wants. He wants fellowship with us. That's the whole purpose of us even being here. He wants us to be what we are through Christ Jesus, so he can have fellowship with us through the Holy Spirit and through himself. That's what God wants. And if you understand that, and you pray to him on a regular basis, and you love him, and you walk in love, And if the birds take some of the seed, or somebody says something bad about you, they say you're a nut because you believe it's a chemtrail, or you're a nut because you believe in Morgellons, or you're a nut because you think fluoride's bad for you. I hear all that junk. And here's what I've learned. I just ignore the birds. I do the best I can to ignore them. I continue to sow seed. It falls on rocky soil. It falls on shallow soil. It falls on thorny soil. But then every once in a while, I get real lucky and real blessed, because I don't believe in luck. And I find people like you guys are today listening to the show. And it falls on good soil. Because what we have to do is realize the Patriot community, those of us that have been enlightened to the truth of what's going on, those of us who know what's going on and who understand what's going on, we need to realize something. We've been given a very unique gift, a gift of understanding. And we see what's happening around us, and we understand what's happening with the economy. We understand what's happening with the international banking cartels that are doing what they're doing to us. I mean, we're down the rabbit hole together in this. Now, again, what the government does, a lot of times they'll put these trolls on these chat room boards, and they start tearing into all of us that are on the front lines and in the arena. Well, that's okay, because the truth of the matter is, you guys are smarter than that. You guys are my listeners. You know, I've taught you. I've helped you to understand a lot of this stuff, and many of you could probably teach me a lot. And I get these letters all the time from you guys, and you're telling me about this and about that, and I'm looking it up, and I'm sending you emails back. And I'm going, wow, thanks. I didn't see it that way. Thanks so much. I mean, like yesterday, I found out that Gene Roddenberry, who started the Star Trek series, he was also good friends with Jack Parsons and also was involved with Satanic Magic with Aleister Crowley and those guys back in the 40s and 50s. I didn't know all that. I mean, wow, so I keep learning all of this stuff and learning more and more. I didn't know they have a giant AI satellite that circles the planet on an ongoing basis that's in orbit around us, all the time monitoring everything through the NSA. And these giant satellites, these computer satellites that monitor this grid that they're putting up on us and in us. I didn't know all that stuff was going on. I mean, so I didn't realize that almost every single person who walked on the moon, supposedly, if they really did that, which I hope they did, that they were all Masonic people, they were all in Masonic lodges. I didn't know all that. So you guys are teaching me so much, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the support. I thank you for the emails. I thank you for supporting Health Masters. I really do. And if you like the teaching that I did today, I thank you for buying your vitamins. And now we're actually having people giving us donations online. Thank you for that. I appreciate that, too, because that means a lot to us, because somebody has to pay for the show. So far, Health Masters has been bringing you the show. And finally, I got a donation online the other day, and I was all excited, and Austin was all excited. We thought, wow, how cool is this? People are listening, and they're actually putting their money where their mouth is. I mean, if just all of you who are listening today went to healthmasters.com and you donated $5 or $10 or $50 or $100, it would help pay for the show. But if you can't afford that, then here's what I ask you to do. Just pray for us. Pray for God's protection. Pray that we have angel stations around us. Pray we're covered by the blood of Christ. And pray that we have a hedge of thorns around us. Well, I pray that every morning for me and for my family, for all my friends and relatives. And I'll also start praying it for my listeners, too. I'm going to start that tomorrow. Because we love you guys and we appreciate you guys. I want to thank you. And again, our website and the show is brought to you by healthmasters.com. Hope this little teaching on the sower and the seed and understanding what's going on around us and the people around us has been helpful to you today. You can watch Jim Rohn do this on YouTube. He's passed on now. May he rest in peace. Phenomenal man of God. Him and Ziggler are both gone. And I'm kind of like last man standing from our seminar days. And I'm really blessed by God Almighty that I'm still doing what I'm doing. He's still giving me the energy that he has at the age of 60 to be able to do all of this. And I'm able to bestow and to give you the knowledge that I have. And I'll start trying to give you a little bit more of these little anecdotes like this that I've learned over the years. I also have a series that you can get if you'd like online. It's called Maximum Success, How to Live Disease-Free, Debt-Free, and Worry-Free. And I go into detail on health, nutrition, on cash flow management, on how to use credit cards and not be abused by credit cards. I tell you how to manage your finances, how to set up businesses. I do all of that stuff. I was a marketing professor in Tallahassee at the college up there for 2 years. I was a college professor in Tallahassee after I graduated back there in 1980. So I know a lot of stuff that I really don't share with you guys because it's kind of off topic, but I try to help people as much as I possibly can every time they write or try to be helpful. I had a friend of mine who the other day who contacted me concerning my sister up in Atlanta, and she wanted to have some help marketing one of her books, and I showed her and told her how to do it. Because the truth is this. Hey, we're all in this together. None of us are getting off this planet alive unless God comes back first, as far as in our physical bodies. And always remember this. We are not a physical being. We are a spiritual being experiencing a physical existence for a very short period of time, and then our soul moves on. We have to understand that. And what we do now is going to echo for an eternity. And we have to understand that we have to love people for who they are, for what they are, and we need how to try to build people up and encourage everybody. Because look, being in the arena, you kind of need people cheering for you. And thank you all of you so much for doing this for me, for cheering for me, cheering for Doug Hagman, cheering for Paul McGuire and Steve Quayle, all of us, because we are all out here doing the best we possibly can. Again, are we perfect? Absolutely not. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely yes. Are we aware of our mistakes? Oh yeah, we're aware of them. But please, pray for us and pray that we can do better and that God can be seen through us and that we can bring people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and some that some people may be saved by our shows and by our broadcasts. Thanks, guys. I love you. Austin, what's the first story you want to cover today?
Well, that was a phenomenal intro, by the way.
Well, thanks, Austin.
That was really, really good. First one I wanted to cover now, I've been watching some of the stuff and doing a little bit of research on the third arrest now of El Chapo Guzman, that's how you say his name, down there, the Mexican, basically head of the drug cartel. He is apparently now has moved more dope than Pablo Escobar in all of his time. This man is serious bad news. He's killed a lot of people, moved a lot of drugs, and has basically been funded and backed by a substantial amount of the Mexican government. Been arrested twice before. Now he was caught again about a week and a half ago, if you guys saw that. But now it has been confirmed that when they arrested him, one, at least so far now, one of the guns channeled through the Operation Fast and Furious, part of ATF's gun walking program, we talked about it numerous times, ATF now has gone on the record saying one of the Barrett 50 caliber anti-material rifles were one of the weapons used in Operation Fast and Furious and landed in El Chapo Guzman's lap, basically, that they found at the compound he was at. This is interesting because, you know, the whole aspect of what they did with running 2,000 weapons down to Mexico with straw purchases, I mean, first off, the whole thing was so botched, it wasn't even funny. And during the operation, you know, we saw all these illegally transferred weapons. Now, what's interesting is as many as 34 out of the 2,000, 34 of them were 50 caliber Barrett rifles. And there were two found at Guzman's compound when they arrested him. So far, ATF has stated that at least one of them is the exact one out of the 34 that they transferred with the Fast and the Furious. But what's interesting as well, they also found multiple machine guns, including two full-auto M16s equipped with 40-millimeter grenade launcher, underbarrel grenade launchers, and multiple live RPGs as well. ATF so far has not claimed that those are theirs. They're still working to identify to see if any of the other guns that were seized were part of the Fast and Furious operation. I'm sure they will be once they find some more stuff. But what's interesting now is a new federal court judge, Berman, is now trying to force the Obama administration to turn over key documents to Congress in light of all this now, because we keep learning more and more disturbing information just about how ill-advised this entire protocol was. Now, off the record, in my opinion, I think this entire Fast and Furious scandal was a full-blown false flag that went wrong. I think they did this intentionally to try and funnel the guns into Mexico so that the Mexicans would funnel them back into the M16 gangs and so forth that are based in the United States in order to allow these Mexican gangs to be running around with 50 caliber weapons and fully automatic M16s with grenade launchers. Because the whole aspect, if they were trying to find individuals to do these straw purchases with so they could arrest them, why didn't they use some little Tech Nines, little Uzi 9mm? A, you can't hit anything with them. I've shot them before, so have you, Dad. I mean, we have friends that, you know, own Class 3 weapons and stuff like that, and you can't hit anything. But, I mean, why are you going to intentionally supply these guys with 50 caliber Barrett rifles, not to mention they're $8,000 to $10,000 a rifle? They supplied 34 of them on record. We don't even know if they sent them more. And now it's coming out that, according to the court records now from this judge, 10,446 documents were at least completely or partially held from the investigation with Fast and the Furious, along with 5,342 were withheld based on claims of executive privilege. The judge has given the administration until February 2nd to turn over the records, so we'll find out if this actually happens or if they will either try and get rid of the judge or bust him for, you know, fake casino chips or something stupid like they like to do. But this is just something I want to inform you guys of, because this was a direct false flag operation, in my opinion, that absolutely turned really, really south the administration and ATF. And now we're seeing the direct correlation with this drug cartel, leader of the drug cartel, operating 50 caliber weapons down there in Mexico.
Well, the crazy thing about it is, Austin, you know, you and I both shot 50 caliber weapons, and the people don't understand what these are. These aren't anti-personnel guns. They can be used for that, but it's a massive overkill. These are anti-vehicle, anti-airplane weapons.
Yes, and, you know, helicopter. It's funny. They even say in the article that they were 50 caliber rifles designed to take down helicopters. That's what they say in here.
Well, they are. If to shoot a person with a 50 caliber, if they're lined up 50 or 60 people deep in a straight line, you go through all 50 people, you know, within a fraction of a second. That's how powerful these guns are. Now, the reality is, I mean, I think they've got a great purpose for, you know, not for hunting, but for basically target practice. I think they're a lot of fun to shoot. If you get them with the recoiling barrel and the brand new ones they've come out with, they have hardly any recoil. They don't even kick as hard as a 12-gauge shotgun. So the truth is, they're a phenomenal weapon. They're a fun weapon to shoot. And, you know, I know when we were able to shoot one at the shooting range, I mean, you could rent one there for like, you know, a few dollars, or I think it was $50 for an hour, and a group of people get together and rent it, everybody gets to shoot a few rounds on it. The truth is, there's a blast to shoot. But, you know, when the ATF starts giving these guns to Mexican drug cartels, are going to use them for mischief, for bad news, that's rough, man. That's awful. But I can guarantee you one thing. Everybody who buys a legal 50 caliber Barrett in the United States, the ATF knows where that gun is. They know where it is, everybody. And the sad part about it is when they turn them loose to the Mexican drug cartels, they turn loose the whereabouts. Then nobody has any idea where these guns go to. I mean, they can be used to bring down small planes. They can take down a large aircraft. I mean, if you're sitting out there with a armor-piercing round and you're a mile away from a major airport sitting on top of a building and you know how to use that gun with the proper sighting equipment on it, you could put a 50 caliber round right to the back of one of the engines on one of these big aircraft. I mean, it's that powerful of a gun if you guys have never shot one. I mean, when you shoot it, like a normal gun, you get a real loud snap bang and a kick. This one doesn't do that. When this one detonates, it has so much powder in it, when you're holding it, the entire gun shakes, it trembles, and then there's this giant explosion all simultaneously. You get this shaking weapon, and then it explodes. And the first time Barrett actually built one of these guns back in the 80s, he didn't know if it could even handle the round. And he took the barrel and the gun and he hung it, you know, face down in a tree, and he basically had a string tied to the trigger. You remember the story, Austin? And he discharged it that way behind a concrete block wall, ducked down, cowered down as if the thing was going to explode. Because this gun is a phenomenal weapon. It's a phenomenal piece of equipment. It's the number one sniper rifle ever built, up to a mile and a half range. And the truth is, you know, every American citizen patriot needs to have one of these things in their garage, just like they have these fully automatic weapons in Switzerland. And if we were all armed with fully automatic weapons and guns like Barrett, there's absolutely no foreign power that would ever even consider coming in and invading the United States of America. They would be insane. I mean, they would be insane, insane, insane to come in with a country armed with Barretts and fully automatic weapons. And when Reagan did that weapons, that ban back in the 80s, and they snuck it in on him while he had Alzheimer's there at the end, and he signed it, he had no idea what he was going to do, because there's no longer parity with the weapons that are out there. Of course, now they have the military satellites, and we talked about that in detail on Sunday and Monday on our show, and, you know, tied together with the HARP and the chemtrails and the scalar beam weapons. And sadly, even guns now are completely antiquated. They can hit any area they want of the country at any point in time when they want with a scalar weapon, discharge the energy from it, completely flatten everything, which is, I believe happened to Tunguska in 1908 with the Wharncliffe Tower by Tesla. And a lot of other people believe that too. I believe it knocked out 500,000 acres flat. It flattened virgin forest, 500,000 acres, Austin, laid the trees flat for 500,000 acres. And that's the power of scalar weapons. And Tesla knew that. And I covered that in detail this past Sunday night, if you guys want to listen to that show. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, that's crazy. I never knew 500,000 acres flat. Mm-hmm. That's pretty serious. That's a serious weapon.
Yeah, it's a lot more than an atomic bomb would have done.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's everything. Well, what's interesting is, you know, yesterday I brought up the fact, you know, that J.P. Morgan and the big banks have brought in billions of dollars in ATM fees and overdraft fees. You know, J.P. Morgan made right at $2 billion last year just from the ATM fees and overdraft fees, just J.P. Morgan alone. And now, even as we see Wall Street bracing for more cuts on jobs and bonuses, J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon was paid $27 million last year, and they announced J.P. Morgan announced record annual profits last week for 2015, and it looks like he's on the way to hit even larger bonuses for this year. And I just find it funny because these guys are just complete and total globalist banks. They do nothing but completely strip society and just humanity, honestly, of all dignity. I mean, that's when you're making billions of dollars a year off ATM fees and overdraft fees, that's just a small portion of your income. That's what you do for a living. I mean, like you were just saying earlier, Dad, with the sowing and reaping and the positive that you put into people and the negative. And when you think about this, like, this is what you do for a living. You make billions of dollars a year off stealing people's money with ATM fees and overdraft fees on tiny little overages because they went over $10 or $15. You charge them $35. This is what you do for a living. And we see why these guys are so profitable. They're full-blown satanic globalists. They're linked to all that with the Federal Reserve. And, you know, the more you figure this out, the more it all ties in together, and it makes sense on why these guys make so much money. I mean, the CEO's making almost $30 million a year, and that's how they make their money, by ripping Americans off. That's what they do now, and it's pretty sad.
You know, it's funny, Austin, because, you know, I've got on national radio now, and I've talked about the Federal Reserve banks, and I've talked about in detail about the Rothschild control of these. And then back in November, I did a great show with Hagman. I consider one of the best shows I've ever done on the blood of Jesus and how it sanctifies us, to the point that I actually had an altar call, a prayer on that one, or maybe in December. I think maybe in December. In December, I went into more Jellins and more on the scalar weapons, two of the best shows I've ever done. And then all hell breaks loose as far as people saying stuff about me on the internet because I used a couple words correctly, but I didn't vet the proper meaning. And then all these people start taking cheap shots on me. And it's funny to me that when you get these government trolls out there pushing this stuff and doing things and interfering and influencing other people, that it means you're getting people's attention. And quite frankly, when I did that show on the blood of Jesus, when I was sitting in my living room, and I actually, the Holy Spirit actually spoke directly to me, and it wasn't like an audible voice, it was like a full-blown download into my conscious mind. And I quickly finished my prayer and got up and ran and wrote like 10 pages of notes and read it on that show like 2 days later. It completely changed the way I looked at the blood of Christ, why blood is used in the Christian church. Why? Because before I was always curious. I said, you know, blood is drunk in satanic rituals. Why is this blood of Jesus so, so important? And when I realized it was because of the scalar waves that it sends out through space-time, and I'm not going to try to redo the show right now, and how it continually sanctifies us and cleanses our DNA, I don't think I was supposed to know that. I don't think that anybody was supposed to figure that one out. That was a download from the Holy Spirit. I mean, I've never read that anywhere else, but it makes sense from a physics standpoint, from a scalar wave standpoint, because when you take two radio waves, you lay them over each other, it's like a Bose headset. It's a noise cancellation. It cancels out the wave, but it leaves a longitudinal wave in the middle. If you take two longitudinal waves, you lay them on top of each other like a phased array satellite or phased array antenna would do, like you have at HARP, then it creates a scalar wave. And the scalar wave picks up the eddy from the planets and can pick up huge gravitational disturbances and pull tremendous amounts of energy into this. And what's interesting about this is blood communicates to itself through scalar energy. And so the blood of Christ on the cross, through all physics and through time-space, continually restores us. Because remember, God is omnipresent. Satan is not. God is still, has Jesus still on the cross, and he's also on the throne. He's omnipresent. He's throughout time. He doesn't change. He's everywhere at once. I mean, I really don't understand that, but that's what the Bible says. And what's interesting about that is that means his blood continually broadcasts. It's healing the DNA through all time-space. Because remember, there is no time for God. It doesn't exist for him. And the problem is that transmitter from the healing blood of Christ can't be turned off by Lucifer, because Lucifer is not omnipresent. He can't go back and shut off the transmitter. I guarantee you, if he wishes he had not crucified the Son of Glory. Oh, he wishes that.
Because when he did that, he changed the rules forever. Because when that blood was spilled, as Cain killed Abel, and Abel's blood cried out from the ground. It says in Hebrews that Jesus' blood cries out more thoroughly than Abel's blood ever did. It says that in the book of Hebrews, and I covered all that on that show. Because that's the power we have through the cross. That's the power we have through redemption. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. And that's why so many churches have taken the blood out of their hymnals, because they've been taken over by these government entities. They've been taken over by the politically correct crowd, and the blood is bad. We can't talk about the blood. The blood is everything with Christianity. That's the same thing with communion. And so when you understand what God did for us and who He is and how He did it, it's amazing to me. But we weren't supposed to know all of that stuff, as far as I'm concerned. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit gave me that download, and I really believe that that's the truth of what I talked about on that show that night. But it's funny, after I started talking about the blood of Christ, started talking about the Morgellons, started talking about the international banking cartels and who they are, all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. And I find it interesting, Austin, because the truth is, the Bible says that if we preach the word and we do it, you're going to get these birds and all these haters that are going to come out. I mean, what did Jesus himself do? Jesus told people the truth. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He told the truth. And then he drove the bankers out of the temple. And what happened to him a week later, after Palm Sunday, after he came in, he rode in on a donkey and he was being celebrated. A week later, he was on the cross. See, the powers to be came after him, the Roman people did, and also the banksters that were still there, and these Jewish folks that he had called out, who he said in the book of John, your father is the devil. And that was a sect of them. That's not all of them, of course. And he straight called them out. And these are the ones who became the Sabbateans and the Frankists and the Kabbalists and all this other kind of crazy stuff. And so it's not that all Jewish folks are bad, just like not all Christians are bad, or not all Muslims are bad, or not all Hindus are bad, or not all Muslims. Nobody's bad. But you have groups in all of these different religions that are bad, all of them. And so, you know, you can't say that all Jews are bad or all Christians are bad. That's not true. It's simply not true. Because most Jews and most Christians and most Muslims and most Hindus and most Buddhists are really good people. It's the globalists. This is that 0.1% at the very top that's running everything through money and through the fiat banking systems and through this Babylonian money magic that are these Satan worshipers. They're the ones that we need to go after. They're the ones that are doing all of this stuff. But let me read you this real quick out of this book by Friedland. I did this on Sunday night. I want to share this with you real quick. Tesla knew that the grid of energy around the planet was a repository of gravitational energy far more valuable than oil, and that men bankrolling his experiments, this would be J.P. Morgan, would want to use it not for free energy but for warfare. On April 21st, 1908, Tesla wrote a letter to the editor of New York Times about how his Tesla magnifying technology could be made into a death ray. When I spoke of future warfare, I meant that it would be conducted by a direct application of electrical waves without the use of any type of airplanes or any implements of destruction. This is not a dream. Even now, wireless power plants can be constructed in any region of the globe, and they can be rendered uninhabitable without suggesting the population of other parts of serious danger and inconvenience. In other words, he's saying he could use a power plant like the Wardenclyffe Tower to discharge an energy beam to render these areas completely uninhabitable. 70 days, Austin, after he ran this letter, an explosion 1,000 more times more powerful than Hiroshima took place at Tunguska River in central Siberia. People and herds of Siberian reindeer were decimated. 500,000 acres of pine forest lay flattened. Just before the explosion, witnesses saw the entire sky start to glow for miles, and yet no telescope detected incoming meteors or comets. That was a scalar weapon being discharged. Tesla's Wardenclyffe transmitter would have been capable of inducing such an explosion and more, because in 1917, 9 years later, he wrote, Tesla did, when unavoidable, the Tesla magnifying transmitter, Wardenclyffe, may be used to destroy property and life. And the question is in the book, was he speaking from experience? So the reality is this, the technology that we have right now in radar waves, scalar weapons, longitudinal weapons, all of this stuff is so far advanced past nuclear bombs and nuclear weapons, Austin. And you're absolutely right. The banksters are just completely raping the planet. They're raping it. I mean, these are the Satanists that have got a hold of the thing. This is Sabbatane Levy from the 1600s, whose movement was taken over by Jacob Frank, and he's the one who got the Rothschilds in here to worship Lucifer. That's the deal here. And these people are not Christians, they're Satanists. They're not Jews. They're Satanists. They may claim to be Jewish, but they're not. They're Satanists. You can claim to be anything, but that doesn't mean that's what you are. And see, that's the craziest thing about all of this stuff is that we have to realize that when I was on with Tex Mars last year on the Power Hour, I fussed at him because he got on there and started talking about, it was the Jews or this and the Jews or that. I said, Tex, stop it. I said, you can't do that. I said, that's extremely racist. I said, you can't talk like that. I said, 99%, probably 99.99% of every Jewish person, every Muslim person, every Christian person, every Hindu, every Buddhist have no idea what's going on. They're clueless. Okay? It's just this little group of people that are Luciferians, the Satan worshipers, who do all of this stuff, and it doesn't matter what religion they're from, what religion they claim to have been from, because George Bush isn't Jewish. Okay? He's not Jewish. You know, he's not, so you can't say they're all Jewish because they're not. So we have to realize it's the Luciferians that are doing this, not any specific ethnic group. It just so happens that the international banking cartel, that most of them claim to be from a Jewish heritage, but again, they're not practicing Hebrews. They're not practicing the Torah. These guys are Luciferians. And that's why the Rothschild banking cartel, according to the Bloodbought book, the Bloodlines book, it says that every 37 years, Lucifer appears to them in person, and that they have a place setting at their table for him to, in case he shows up at any time. Now, whether this is true or not, who in the world knows? I mean, it doesn't matter. We have to be about our Father's work. We can't be dwelling on all of this stuff like this. We've got to be telling the people about Jesus. We've got to be promoting health. We've got to be telling the people what a chemtrail is. We've got to be telling them not to drink fluoride. We've got to stay focused on sowing the seed. That's the important thing. You've got to sow the seed. That's why so much of what we do here with the show is we tell you guys the truth about health and nutrition, about immunizations, about Gardasil, about fluoride, about vaccines, all of these things, because that's where you've got to stay focused. You've got to stay focused on sowing the seed of the truth. That's why the truth movement is getting so big and mainstream media is going to nothing as far as its ratings, because everybody is nauseous of it. This is why Donald Trump has tapped into a nerve with the American people. He's tapped into a nerve because everybody has had it with political correctness. I am not politically correct. I have never been politically correct. I will never be politically correct. God help me not to be that way. I'm going to tell you guys the truth to the best of my ability. Am I going to get it right all the time? Absolutely not. But I got a pretty good track record. I was telling people about trans fats over 30 years ago, aspartame over 30 years ago, pork products over 30 years ago, sodium nitrite over 30 years ago, Splenda, when it first came out, I warned everybody it was a chlorinated hydrocarbon, it was a pesticide. I've been warning people about GMOs, genetic engineering. I've been talking about stuff for 30 years, a lot of it, and every single thing that I told people, to a million people at live seminars that I spoke with President Bush and Barbara Bush and Colin Powell, they shared the platform with me, every single time, Austin, all 10 of those things I warned people about, every single thing I said to them was right. And see, that was 30 years ago. And the reason I knew a lot of that stuff is because I'd seen thousands and thousands of patients on a regular basis. I knew the vast majority of these people were dying with heart disease, with diabetes and cancer, because they were eating the very foods that I was telling and warning people not to eat, son. And that's how that entire list got put together. What's your next story?
Well, one that I did want to address, because I know, I mean, pretty much everything you just said is true, except for the fact that I don't agree that 99% of Muslims are not to blame as far as a lot of the significant issues that are showing themselves in Europe right now. I think a large portion of that entire religion is something that's extremely satanic, and I don't agree with anything in it at all. But I just want to be clear with everybody on that. But I understand.
Let me share something with you. I'm not saying that all of these Muslims that are raping these women are innocent, because they're not. They're horrible, horrible, horrible people, and they should know better. And I know they know better than to do that. But they've been taught with Sharia law. And let me tell you something. I heard David Icke. And yes, I listen to David Icke, and I agree with a lot of stuff he says, but not everything. So don't say, now, oh my God, he listens to David Icke. Well, David Icke's one of the top draws on the Alex Jones show. And he's always had the unique ability to be about 20 years ahead of his time as far as the stuff that he comes up with. Now, I don't agree with all the stuff that he says. Some of the stuff just seems crazy. But here's the thing about what he did say. He said, if you look in the sector in Jerusalem, he said it's broken into four sectors. You've got the Armenian sector, the Christian sector, the Muslim sector, and the Jewish sector in Jerusalem, the old town. And he said that when you go out there and you see the kids playing in the street when they're young in their own little sectors, they've already been indoctrinated into the belief that they're going to have, and that they're basically being trained as a Muslim or as a Jew or as an Armenian, as a Christian, because that's what we believe. It's the established paradigm that we get when we're born. Now, we have to realize is this. I believe that our relationship with God is dependent upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. I got that, okay? But the truth is this. These other people aren't being taught that. So we have to find a way to get that word to them and minister to them to try to get them to change. But you're absolutely right in the fact that there's a lot of Muslims that are coming into Europe that are militant Muslims that have been trained to be jihadists because that's what they want to do and that's what they want to believe. But the vast majority of the billions and billions and billions of Muslims on the planet, they're not interested in all of this stuff as far as going into the United States and strapping on a suicide vest. But what these guys have done to them, they've been trained to be that way, and because we bombed them into rubble, killing all of their family. Now, it may not be 99% of the Muslims. It may be 90% of them are good people. I don't know, Austin. You're probably right on that number, or whatever number you think it is. But the reality is this. We all have been indoctrinated in our own belief and own way of thinking by the time we're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. That's the problem that we have in the United States. We used to be raised as little Christians here. That's pretty much stopped. And we don't do that anymore. And the same thing's happening to us that happened to Rome. When I asked my dad one time, what happened to Rome? Why did it fall? And he goes, son, they stopped raising little Romans. We stopped raising little Americans. I mean, it's the same thing. And I told this to Hagman today when I was talking to him. I said, here's the deal, Doug. I said, if I've got a gay guy in a ditch with me, and we've got an invading army attacking the United States, and this guy knows how to handle a weapon, and he's defending me and defending himself and defending our families, I said, and there's a dead patriot laying there who's already been shot. You know, I'm going to hope the gay guy knows how to shoot. See, that's where this is coming down to. God forbid it. We have to realize that we've got to find a way that we can all unify to try to save the United States of America. We have to unify our faith as far as believing that we can all work together in some way or fashion. Not these radical jihadists that want to kill everybody. I mean, even Louis Farrakhan has said they shouldn't be brought over to the United States. And Donald Trump's absolutely right about bringing any more Muslim immigrants to the United States until we can properly vet them. I agree with that. But what we have to understand is that we have to find common ground with all these special interest groups, because that's the divide and conquer strategy that the globalists have used on us for thousands of years. That's what they've done. And so you can't be that way. You've got to walk in love. You've got to walk in forgiveness. You've got to show them the true power of Jesus Christ, the power of the cross, the power of the blood, and explain it to them. Now, I can honestly say to you, if I got some radical jihadist walking up to my front door carrying a severed head, I'm going to shoot him before he says a word. I'm going to shoot him through the front door. I got that, okay? We all have to be ready and prepared to do all that, but we have to understand this. We've got to know that not everybody who's a Muslim's bad, not everybody who's a Christian's bad, not everybody who's Jewish is bad, not everybody who's a Hindu or a Buddhist or an Indian or anybody, they're not all bad. There's good people out there in all these different denominations. They believe differently than we do, and I believe they have to get converted and become Christians to get set, to become saved, to go to heaven. I believe that, unlike our Pope nowadays who doesn't believe that anymore. I believe they've got to convert to Christianity to become saved. I believe that with all of my heart. But the point is, if I'm in a battle, and I got these guys fighting with me to try to stop this onslaught of what could be possibly coming. I mean, Austin, what are we, FEMA District 5 down here in Florida? I mean, you know, the former Florida is now FEMA District 5. I mean, this is complete nonsense that we've got these FEMA districts that are basically replacing states' names now. I mean, how'd this happen? What happened with the United States of America that I know, son?
It's been overtaken. That's exactly what's happened to us. But, you know, and the divide and conquer strategy is very, very clear, like you said on that, as far as that's what they want to do. That's why they've pushed so hard over the last couple of years as far as trying to bring up the Black Lives Matter movement, as far as trying to bring in so much racial hatred
from
blacks on the whites. That's why every time you see a shooting or something with a cop, even when it's justified, if it's a normal shooting, you don't even hear about it. As soon as it's a black individual that gets shot by a cop, I mean, all hell breaks loose on CNN and every single website online goes and talks about it, and all they do. And then they try and send these agent provocateurs in to sit there and get everybody agitated and get them madder. So it gets to a point with Ferguson, like they had to send the National Guard in because it became so unruly. And that's exactly what the overall goal is, like you said with that. But here's a letter. I just want
Real quick, Austin. We're FEMA District 4 in Florida.
FEMA District 4?
Yeah, we're FEMA District 4. I just looked it up.
I guess that makes it better. We're one more closer to one. So.
What's your letter, buddy?
But this is interesting. I saw that it was already taken down. A girl by the name of, let me pull it up here again, Bibi Wilhelm. She's a 16-year-old out of Germany, and she posted a video up on Facebook and YouTube. The video was already taken down off Facebook because of it was taken down under hate speech guidelines, which I find quite interesting. I'll read you part of it. The rest of it's still online on some places you want to find it. She said, hello, you can read the newspapers, but this video is about the real situation in Germany. I would like everyone, I would like to tell everyone on YouTube and Facebook, I'm almost 16, and I want everybody to know what's really going on and how I authentically feel at this moment. We are so scared everywhere. For example, if my family and I go out together, even if I see a movie with my friends, I usually stay home. But sometimes I've stayed out till 6 p.m., and it's so scary. It's so hard to live day-to-day life as a woman. She said, I just want to say that I'm not a racist, but my aunt and my friend have said, you need to grow up. Why should we? We're children. Why should we have to grow up in so much fear? And she goes on to say down here further and further, said they were wearing a T-shirt, heard her friend wearing a T-shirt during the summer, and were basically groped by a group of Muslims that basically said they couldn't be wearing that. And she said, life of Germany has changed because these people cannot integrate. We give them so much help, we support them financially, and they do not work. They only want more babies, more welfare, and more money. Men of Germany, please patrol the streets and protect us. Do this for your women and your children. If you do that, I believe we may have a chance. Thank you, Angela Merkel, for killing Germany. I have no more respect for you, Merkel. I do not think you know what you have done. You do not see how our lives have changed. Open your eyes. This is not normal. This is the truth. We can no longer allow to walk outside at night. We can no longer wear normal clothes. We are no longer allowed to live the life, the German life. This is the sad truth. This is a 16-year-old girl just putting this on YouTube and Facebook.
Well, no, and again, Germany has become completely and totally just steeped in political correctness. But there are a group of people out there that are still the real core, hardcore Germans that are left that don't want to live like this. And she's probably one of them. And it's like there's real hardcore Americans that are patriots that don't want to live like this. Let me read you another one about what's going on over there. Remember, I told you guys a couple of weeks ago that they had bombed the water treatment centers and the electrical facilities in Syria. And that's one of the reasons that 8 million people from northern Africa and Syria have headed now into Europe. That's in the pipeline. 2 million have arrived. And it was sad about this. I told you they were bringing in all kinds of diseases from the water they were drinking that was contaminated from the rivers out there.
Yep.
For the Euphrates River. This is from Breitbart. The Danish State Serum Institute has warned hospitals in Denmark to be on lookout signs for diphtheria, an illness that has not been seen in Denmark for 20 years after two Libyan migrants tested. This is Libyan, not Syrian, tested positive for the disease. Danish newspaper Metro Press also reported that other asylum seekers have been found to be carrying tuberculosis and malaria, prompting the SSI to comment that Denmark may start introducing mandatory health checks for migrants. Duh. The local reports that Health Minister Sophie Lund has confirmed immigration officials will discuss a change in policy with the country's health and medicines authority, as well as screening. Denmark could also introduce mandatory vaccinations for migrants, which I think they should do, by the way. As much as I hate vaccines, if they're coming in with all these horrible diseases, I mean, gosh, they don't need to bring them in, and they need to be. But they need even these people need to be given clean vaccines without all the adjuvants put into them. But it's that we need to understand something. You know, that's one of the reasons that we're able to not do any vaccines in the United States, is because these diseases have been completely curtailed because of sanitation. I don't think the vaccines did a lot to eliminate them, but the sanitation and the plumbing and the toilets and the cleanliness and all these things that we've been taught in the United States that they don't know how to do in these third world countries. And so that's just that's what I'm trying to tell people, is it's going to be just a mess. Ron Paul now has basically said that Trump will be the nominee. Breitbart, former presidential candidate Ron Paul, the father of the presidential contender, said Senator that Wednesday that Trump will likely be the Republican presidential nominee. When asked about his son's chances, he said that he'll do better than people expect. He says the system really isn't that fair. Actually, when we get to the convention, they changed the rules, and now the rules that have been changed look like they can help Trump. They're in a tizzy now, the Republican Party, because they got to change the rules again, because we certainly don't want Trump to be to help Trump. Paul also dumped on polling and says that the polling can be rigged. And so it's the truth, Austin. I mean, we have to realize, I mean, I don't know what Donald Trump's going to do, but I'm going to say it again. I'm not going to judge this guy because he's talking the talk, man. The guy carries a gun, and he's just something else. Now, here's another article. Black seed extract cures HIV patient naturally. I think this is a pretty strong statement out of Green Meadows Info. They said these are their words that you don't use in medicine today, such as cure, but a remarkable case study in an HIV-positive patient treated with black seed oil extract resulted in a sustained remission, including a safe, accessible, and affordable alternative to highly toxic antiretroviral HIV drugs that may already exist. Nigellia sativa, which is black seed oil, has been studied for a wide range of health benefits, but not until recently was it discovered to hold promises as a curative agent against potentially lethal virus infections. This is why when you look at our program, look at our website, we talk about black seed oil is in our kit that you use to maintain your health and fungal health, you know, keep fungus away from the Morgellons. Also, our joint extract, our joint support formula is back in stock, isn't it, Austin?
Yes, the joint proprietary joint rebuilding and the joint relief formula are back in stock. All of the back orders have been fulfilled now as of, I think, actually Wednesday. So everybody should be getting those probably this weekend and Monday, Tuesday at the latest, depending what state you're in.
This is part of the Dave Hodges joint protocol. And, yeah, you know, yeah. He had great results on that. So you guys, you know, go to the website and order those. It's a phenomenal product. And Dave's a good friend of mine. Doug's a good friend of mine. I mean, I like all the Patriots. I like Steve Quayle. I don't know Steve. I've never met him. I've sent him several emails. You know, I like Paul McGuire. I like Russ Dizdar. I like Tom Horn. There's a lot of really good people out there in this movement, guys. Let's all love each other and support each other. It's really, really important because the truth is, if people are booing you when you're in the arena, it's kind of disheartening, especially when you got a sword shoved in your gut. You know, you're kind of going like, wow, I mean, this is really awful. I kind of was hoping that somebody would say, rah, rah, hoopla, let's get things moving, you know. But the thing about it is just always remember, we have to build each other up and support one another. We have to love one another. Because the truth is this, if we don't, we're no different than the heathen, guys. No offense, we're no different than the heathen. If we run around backbiting and stabbing each other and basically doing these things, we're no different than the heathen. And we have to realize that because love conquers everything. Jesus came here to teach us love. Love is the most important attribute that we have as Christians. And if we can't do that, you know, we can't be doing it. The Bible says, you know, in the Old Testament, I think it's in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, that one of the things that God hates is somebody who's divisive among the brethren. Let's not be divisive. Let's be unifying. Let's bring everybody together under the same tent and let us realize we're all in this mess together. If we don't want to become FEMA District 4 for real, which we already are, if we don't want to have that category put on us and no longer be out of the state of Florida, we've got to get together and we have to do what we need to do. What do you think about that, Oz?
That's a very, very strong point, and I think it's a very accurate point. I think a lot of people need to heed that because you're absolutely right. The position that a lot of us are in right now, it's not about fighting among ourselves, especially the like-minded individuals like ourselves and everybody that's in this movement, trying to wake other people up and get people prepared what's going on. I mean, shoot, just look at the photos from the stores from up north in the last couple of days. I mean, all the stores up there completely void of all food, water, everything's been emptied out in 3 days up there. We have to learn to work together. We have to be self-sufficient. We have to be prepared. That way, if an individual you know has something, hey, I'm out of food on this, or I don't have this, oh, well, I have this. Do you want to trade? That's what it comes down to, guys, is being able to help each other out, support each other, barter with one another, and take care of one another. And that's how everybody has to start becoming. And if we become like that and not reliant on the government for anything, we'll be much better off as a country, and we'll by far should be able to succeed and continue as the United States of America, God willing, if we can get our faith and our alignment back towards Him.
That's right, Austin. We have to become what the first century church was. We have to go back to the basics of the Bible, the basics of Christianity before the Catholic Church and Constantine brought all that heathen mess into it. And we've got to realize if we're going to do all of this, we've got to become first century Christians again and realize that love is important, Christ is important, and without Him, nothing's going to change. God bless you guys. I love you guys. We'll talk to you on Sunday night. I appreciate every one of you, and thank you again for supporting HealthMasters.com.